It's Sunday, the 27th of July. We're live at the Museum of Comedy. Please welcome to the stage, Alexis Sands! Oh. That was Alexis Sale.
Fucking making me come here. fuck's sake.
What?
And you.
What?
All of you.
Why are you so upset?
I don't know, I just don't want to be here.
No, you, yeah. You were napping, weren't you, backstage?
Yeah.
You're so far away from me.
I know, well, it's because we've got a special... Well, guests want me to move closer.
No. Not at all. It's just strange feeling it. What's wrong, Alexi? What's... Is it just the world in general?
I was taking the mood that I have, and then I was enhancing it for comic effect. I thought you'd know that by now, you fucking idiot.
Oh, yeah. And I thought maybe I'd tee you up for a conversation, something to talk about just, if I ask you what's
what
the matter.
That's what you do. You take what you feel, a grain, and then you exaggerate it for comic effect. That's what I fucking do.
Okay.
You fucking nuisance.
I'll write this down. Exaggerate.
It's funny, last week there was four people, there was empty seats there, and I actually did crowd work, which I hate. To the empty seats. But I think that's a really good thing. So I was like, are you two a couple? And you know, where'd you work and stuff like that? And it went really well, didn't it?
It was really funny.
Yeah.
It's less funny when you do it next week and there are people sat there.
Yeah. It's not funny at all.
It was an interesting week last week with you. We got to do some extracurricular activities, did we not? Alexi.
What did we do?
We did some filming with Tyg Hickey, previous guest.
Yeah.
And Nicole Jenez, both of them very active on Instagram, pro-Palestine voices.
Yeah.
And they've been writing a cool sketch show, and they invited Alexi and myself to take part.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that shit.
Yeah.
And then you went and banged some pots outside Parliament.
I thought you were going to say, when you say went and banged, I didn't know where you were. I wondered where you were going with that.
Well, we know you're a freak, Alexi. But we're not going to talk about that.
I went and banged some pots outside. It was very... Well, no, before that, I went to the... I also went to the launch of Camden People's Alliance on Sunday, and that will be the Camden... The Camden branch of the new party when it finally comes together. So yeah, and it was very. I was prepared to. I was very much in the same mood as I was just when I came on stage. But I was prepared. But in fact, I was enthused. I was excited.
Good.
I was like, I think it's
currently.
I think it's all going to work.
The placeholder name for the party is just your party.
Yeah.
And Jeremy is openly seeking suggestions for other names. And I was wondering, did you have any ideas? Like, me and B were discussing it at home, and we were like, the Together Party. Yeah, the People's Party. Have you got any cool, like, better ideas? Should it
really.
Be edgy, or should it be wholesome and welcoming, or what?
I don't really know. It's not really my forte. He keeps appearing in front of me, though, Jeremy. That's a weird thing. You know, a few weeks ago, I was having a coffee in the park with some friends, and my friend went to get a coffee, and I was looking at my phone. And when I looked up, I said, you know, have you got your coffee? And when I looked up, Jeremy was sitting there. It is, when you think of him, he appears. You know, when he's like Saladin or King Arthur. When you most need him, he's there. Because, again, I was there on Friday outside. I died banging me pot, and then I looked up, and there he was.
Wow.
Smiling at me. Oh. Yeah, he will come. He will. Yeah, he call his name, and he will.
And here he is! Yeah. Oh my God!
No, he's. He would be if you wanted.
I know.
I mean, he will be. You could give him a ring. He would. He'd come. I mean, he'd be really late, but I mean, he would. Somebody said the most often used phrase on the left is "Jeremy is on his way."
That's quite funny.
So it was genuinely very exciting, very moving, amazing, mix of people, young and old, you know, this. And it's also, it's all that skill, really. I was talking with Linda before about this. There was all that skill of those people in the Labour Party who were just being used by the right wing to get their fucking vile candidates in, that now all those activists, all those people are freed to just, you know, be activists in what is a truly great cause, you know. And I can't, I'm very optimistic. I'm very optimistic.
Which is a hard thing to be at this time and place.
Yeah, it's obviously the only thing. But I think, you know, I hope it's going
to
work. Really.
And I was very pleased to see that, you know, although Palestine is at the forefront of everyone's minds and it is, in terms of humanity, the most important thing happening right now, but the party is, according to your reports from that Sunday, they are focused on local issues.
Housing and
making our lives better in a way that people don't have to then fall to reform.
Two things that were really impressive. One, the chairwoman kept everybody really short. I mean, and nobody spoke for more than 5 minutes, and the people who spoke from the floor spoke for less than a minute usually, and that was unheard of, really, in a left wing kind of meeting.
Yeah,
and there's also an awareness that it can't be, you know, you can't formulate a party. There are some people, I think, within the kind of general, you know, that want to just replicate the Labour Party. But I think the vast majority of people understand that it's got to be a different sort of party. That it's got to be from the ground up. The democracy has got to come from the people, really. It can't be just another kind of bureaucratic, top-down organisation like the Labour Party was, really. And so, I know there's a real awareness of that. And so I think that's tremendously exciting because I think that, you know, you can't, that kind of politics has failed, really, the conventional kind of.
So hurry up, but do it right. So take your time.
Yeah, so anyway, it's I'm optimistic. Okay. I'm relatively optimistic.
Well, reason to be cheerful. Let's add another one to the mix, shall we? Shall we bring out our special guest? What do you think?
Yeah, we could do. Yeah, I was going to say, because of course I want the defence brief in Jeremy's first government because I'm obsessed with cars and tanks and guns and stuff like that. And so I don't want the art. You can fuck off with your arts, fucking minister for the fucking arts. I don't fucking want that. I want the fucking defence.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You know what you're talking about, and you studied it. Like,
yeah, I have.
Not just the gear, but the...
All the books in my lavatories, I have several, I have to say. So, without bragging too much, I have a number of lavatories. And in all of them, all the books are about military equipment. So, so that's the brief I want, Jeremy, in the first Corbyn government, Corbyn Sultana.
I'd
government.
Second that, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 20 grand for a car, see? Speaking of toilets, that's all. Right, okay, let's bring out our special guests. Who wants to introduce her, you or me?
So, you do it, really. Oh, we could not bother. I think it's going well. I know she came here to just help us out, but, you know, with...
Find people in the audience and listening at home. Who's her of the young ones, huh? Well... All the way back then till today, her and Alexi have been close friends, but she's the writer of The Young Ones and good friend of the show, Lisa motherfucking Mayer! Bring her out, please! Come on! Here she is. Get your own song, Lisa, as well. Alexi's standing on the tablecloth.
The first time we met was in the dressing room at the Comedy Store in 1979. And I was reading a book called David Mayer is a Mother, which was about a man who got pregnant. And you said, that's my dad's name. And I can still remember that. But also because you always had, because you smoked then, you always had a full pack of 20 Rothmans. And I catched one off you because that's what I did.
In those days, you always had to offer your packet of cigarettes.
Yeah, around. It's weird. Isn't
Nobody
it?
Does that now.
No, you'd offer to give other people lung cancer, not just you.
You were very scary then.
I was.
Now,
when I'm a pushy cat.
Well, now you're my little brother.
Yeah, a little kung fu brother. Can we meet? Go on, you tell him.
Which, like, I really am doing all the work today, aren't I?
Yeah, I had to fucked with the
kung fu stuff or the scary.
Whichever you want. To tell them about the kung fu stuff. They want to know.
We now do kung fu together, Tiger Crane Kung Fu, and Swan Young.
Yeah.
And I'm Alexi's senior, so
you're
he
my
has to bow to me.
You're my older sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he bow to you?
If I'm teaching the class.
If you're teaching,
class, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
So we may fight later.
Were you there when Alexi got beaten up by the 80-year-old?
He was younger than me. He's 58, he was. You don't gonna, fucking exaggerate.
I thought you were going to say the 18-year-old girl.
When was I beaten up by an 18-year-old girl?
Ella.
Which Ella?
With glasses.
When did she beat me up?
Well, you did push hands with her.
I beat her.
Oh, okay. You beat up an 18-year-old.
I beat up an 18-year-old. Yeah.
That's fucking, a good story.
Small 18-year-old. I fucking beat her up, yeah.
Jesus.
No, but when we did push hands with Gareth and he dragged me out the ring.
True.
Yeah.
He is probably younger than you.
He's 58. Yeah, what's that? I'm 70. I'm nearly 73. So what's that? I'm not good at maths. That's 15. Is he 15 years younger than me?
That works out.
The fact that he's been seriously ill is neither here nor there.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, he was really, really ill.
Is this making
ill?
Any
that
sense
the
to you, this conversation?
No.
Is it interesting?
What about angry Alexi in the late 70s? Do you want to tell us about him?
It wasn't the anger, it was that...
Scary Alexi, sorry, yeah.
There were at the comic strip, there were two tiny dressing rooms. One was the band, and then later when Dawn and Jennifer came, they were in with the band. And the other one was everybody else. And there was one tiny sink in the corner, which was the only sink. Also, when I say everyone else, for some reason, everyone brought their partners to work with them.
Did they?
Yeah, well, otherwise, why would I have been there?
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, we were all just
hanging out
there.
Because we were cool.
But you used to arrive, and then you would put the plug in the sink, go and get some ice from the Raymond's Review Bar, put ice in the sink, and then put your bottle of wine in there, and no one else was allowed to use the sink.
It was six cans of Sainsbury's lager. Yeah.
And no one dared challenge you.
Nobody was, I didn't know I was doing it, really. I didn't know I was doing it, but I didn't realise I was upsetting
anybody. When you took the plate of the person opposite you who had a bigger portion, you didn't know you were
doing
it.
When they came to dinner, yes. This couple came to dinner once and his chop was clearly bigger than mine. And so I said to him, I'm sorry, but I think you've got my you've got my portion.
And it didn't occur to you, did it? It was obviously a mistake.
I get the biggest chop. Dinner party.
You bastard.
Yeah.
So you didn't realise that you had an intimidating presence, Alexi? Did you?
Not really, no. I had an intimidating presence on stage.
Yeah, I
toned it down backstage.
I think we bonded when we went to hospital together in...
We took the guy. What was he called?
You want to talk into that mic, Lisa, for me?
Sorry,
please.
You fell off the stage in.
I thought it was the guy that was the promoter. See, it's like there is an old actors' home called Denby Hall, where actors go to die, and this is you're witnessing a scene from.
we need.
Now surely he was playing Laertes.
We need a comedian's
and
version.
I was, and it was in Bristol at the Elric, and I.
Well, for years, I think I was your memory because you said you couldn't remember anything
before
the age of 15 anyway. And then I was always one of the more sober people around.
That's true, yeah.
But now...
No, you forget. It's just you get suddenly, it wrong as well.
Just
yeah.
suddenly yeah. gone.
Yeah.
So, we were on the comic strip tour. You fell off the stage and I had tonsillitis and we both got taken to hospital together.
That's right.
Fucking hell.
And the guy was the promoter. It was the old Jesmond Dean Cinema, right, which is gone now. The guy who was the promoter was a guy called Andy Inman, who used to wear like an overcoat tied up with string, wasn't it? Yeah. But I always used to love just saying, "Is Andy Inman?" He used to really please me. "Hi, is Andy Inman?" Yeah.
So this is all pre-Young One stuff, yeah, isn't it?
Yep.
And so what was the... How did A lead to Z?
We toured Australia writing the Young Ones.
You were going out with Rick Mayall to the comedy store.
I met Rick and Aid and everyone because they were my dad's students when I was at school.
David Mayall.
Ah. Oh, yeah. What was your work before you met Rick? And were you always a comedy writer?
My work was I was a student.
Oh, right, yeah.
A schoolgirl.
Oh, right, okay, your career.
I met him when I was a schoolgirl.
No way.
Then, yeah.
And was he also a schoolboy?
Yes, he was. He was in his first year at university, okay, and I was in my last year at school.
Right. That's how it worked back then, guys. Couldn't get away with that.
And then he was scared to talk to me in case my dad found out.
And your dad was his teacher?
Yeah.
Of acting?
No, of drama. It was an academic course.
Not acting, drama.
He's a theatre historian.
So touring with Comic Strip together, Australia as well. What have you got?
Yeah, we were in Australia when the Falkland War broke out.
Yeah.
And
so it couldn't have been our fault. That might have been us. Yeah. Well, we were at the comic strip for a year. First of all, we were in Comedy Store, which was in a strip club, and then Peter Richardson moved it to the Comic Strip, and we were there for about a year. And then
which
we
was in Raymond's
tour.
Review Bar.
In Raymond's Review Bar, yes. And then we went on tour, which I think that was where we bonded, really, wasn't it? I think that was where, yeah, well, that's what you said. But that's where it kind of turned into a family, didn't it, really? You know,
very much.
Me and you and Rick and Aid and Dawn and Jennifer. And
we briefly formed a company together and then never did anything. But
Shunken Fence.
Yeah, we did think of a name. So you're wrong that thinking of names isn't your forte.
It wasn't my Shunken Fence because the Shunken Fence is a ha ha. And we had one meeting with Rick. He thought it was an elaborate scheme to rob him of all his money, didn't he? So we never went. Yeah, but we're not the sort of people who, you know. All those Cambridge and Oxbridge boys formed all those production companies, didn't they? Like Talkback and Hat Trick and stuff like that. We never did that. Really,
that's why they've all got huge houses.
We're doing fucking podcasts on a Sunday night.
God, you really don't want to be here. It's kind of amusing to me how little you want to be here right now.
This is a story I've been meaning to tell for ages. There was a thing on the radio about people quitting their jobs, whistleblowers, senior civil servants and stuff, quitting their jobs, out of ethical considerations. Yeah. It's obviously people, particularly with Gaza and stuff, people can't. So when it can't go along with, they had the senior civil servant, they were interviewing him on the phone. And he said, he talked about his ethical dilemma and how he could no longer go with Gaza, and so he quit from his senior position in the Foreign Office. And then they said, "And what are you doing now?" He said, "Well, I'm sorry, it's a bit noisy, but I'm busking in the town centre." And he was actually fucking a senior civil servant busking in the fucking centre of St Albans.
Was he like giving out like... inside information about the government for like £2? Will whistleblow for change kind of thing.
Was he any good?
I don't know. He just said, that's what he said. I'm sorry it's a bit noisy, but I've been busking in the town centre. But I thought, well, there's somebody who's prepared to, you know.
Well, they did tell them a few months ago, if you don't agree with what our stance on Gaza, fuck off out of this.
It was amazing,
the government.
Yeah.
Well, look at how many federal workers have lost their jobs in the US as well.
I don't know.
Well, a lot.
Loads.
Yeah.
It's fucking wrong. It's fucking awful.
It's not right, no.
I don't like it. That fucking Trump, he's a fucking idiot, isn't he? I was watching him on the telly before. Fucking hell, he's an idiot. He is, though, isn't he? What's up with that?
I was watching him in Scotland.
He's mad. He's fucking mad. He's fucking crazy. Honest to God. Fucking Trump. He's a fucking twat.
Yeah.
If you watch the news today where he's in a golf buggy and Sky News, shouting questions at him, and he's got someone who's obviously translating it from Scottish into English.
Has the ladies' football finished? We're recording this during the ladies' final. We've got ears being covered. Do we not want to discuss?
Oh, it was 1-1 when I last saw it.
Yeah.
Let's not ruin it for anyone. Oh, okay. Shall
we
announce
feel guilty it? About being here?
Have you been watching it, Alexi? Have you been watching the ladies' Euros?
Yeah. He lied.
Extra time.
Ooh, we're in extra time. It's very nice of that. Any of you showed up here rather than...
Well, that's the last. Oh, let's see the latest. If the penalties are on, we should put it on the screen.
No, not during a podcast. That's okay. Don't know. Maybe we could. I don't know.
Random cheers.
Yeah, I want to know how it... Lisa, put your phone down.
Are we back on? We're back on the podcast this week.
Sorry, I digress. Then we're back going back into history. Then, then you and Rick and Ben wrote the podcast.
the Young Ones podcast.
Pilot of the Young Ones in that late 81, and we shot it in the winter of 81.
And then we went to Australia.
Yeah.
And did you pitch it to the BBC before you'd written it? Did you have the concept and they commissioned you? Yeah, you did. I wonder, for any of the nerds out there, like, what was that process like, just getting it fucking commissioned in the first place?
So we knew one producer, who was a guy called Paul Jackson.
You knew one producer?
Who was a guy called Paul Jackson, and he had made a... He'd come to the comic strip and thought it was great and wanted to do something with them, and he'd done a programme...
He did two... kind of omnibus programs that you got Boom Boom Out Goes the Lights.
Yeah, they were like live comedy.
I was telling a story about when I said, that was the first time I was on television, and I rang my mum the next day and I said, I was on telly last night. She said, yeah. She said, Keith Allen wasn't very good either.
I like the when you were playing Tommy Bolofsky in one of the...
Oh, yeah, this is Linda's auntie.
This is Linda's auntie. There are lots of stories about Linda's auntie.
Yes.
And so he played a drunken scouse relative.
I saw your Lexi on the telly last night. He was drunk. Of course he was. He's playing a drunk, you fucking idiot. Didn't understand the subtleties of
the concept of acting.
Televisual medium, no.
She went up to the screen in the cinema and tried to turn the volume down.
Is that the same Auntie Linda, or is that another one?
Auntie Amy.
Auntie Amy, right.
Who's the one with the hat story?
Auntie Amy.
So that she went to the cinema with a gentleman caller and... Who's that?
That's your mum's friend Doris, isn't it?
It's
my
mum's factory friend.
Do you want to tell the story?
So I tell the story. So her friend, she agreed to go out on a date to the cinema with a man who was above her, slightly above her in the social class, a clerk. That's Linda's mum's friend. And they got in the cinema. And, they sat down, the lights went down, and he leaned over and he said, it's under the hat when you're ready. That's just horrified.
Yeah, a horrified silence.
Yeah.
A friend of mine once went to the cinema with someone and he went, oh, you go into the row first, I'm left-handed.
Oh, shit.
That material's not killing anybody.
Oh.
No, it's just horrifying everyone.
Everybody's horrified now, yeah.
Fuck. I didn't think people could behave that way back then.
When I told the story, which I did a long time ago,
It was to do with class
differences. Oh, yeah.
Yes, so, you've taken all the lesson out of it.
I think there might be another lesson in it as well.
That's crazy. Was it Aunt May?
Aunt Amy.
It wasn't Auntie Amy, anyway.
No, what was that story? Oh, no, Belofsky originated as Auntie Amy's...
You were drunk.
...relative, drunk relative. What?
Do I need to explain it? Alexi played a drunken character on television, and then Linda's aunt phoned
said he was
her
drunk.
Mother to complain that he'd been drunk on television.
Okay, interesting. Okay, hilarious. Okay, now keep going. I want to get to how they.
I think Aunt Amy also used to hide Linda's pram as a prank to her mother as well.
You're telling stories not just about me now, about Linda.
Is that
did
true?
Did she hide your pram?
Around the corner.
Oh, you were in the pram?
Yeah.
She came out of the co-op,
she thought
something had happened.
Jesus.
She used to mock me in a cupboard when I was two or three and not tell anybody where I was.
Fuck. Yeah. So, Paul made these couple comic strip films.
Yeah. Back to the biography.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get to the young ones getting the stamp of approval.
They were very anemic. Everyone had to, sense what they were doing. It was a sort of pale version of the live experience. So Rick and I thought, what would be something that's meant to be on television?
Right.
And we thought, nature documentary? No, sitcom.
Yeah.
The sitcom is made for television. So we... And he already had the character of Rick, who was an angry poet, who just used to come on and do poems about Vanessa Redgrave.
The theatre.
Yeah. Whenever I carry my spear to the theatre.
you get away with anything in those days, couldn't you, really?
When I think of her tulips, something about tulips and tulips. I
must have sat through this.
Anyway, and then Nigel Planer had a version of Neil, who used to come on in a woolly hat and play the guitar and was sad about his girlfriend. So we thought, well, we've got those two characters, and then we just invented characters for the other people in the comic strip, who were Alexi and Peter Richardson, and took it to Paul. And he commissioned a pilot. An aide who was Rick's partner.
Yeah, who had, that means a variation.
So there were two double acts.
Dangerous.
Rick and Aide were a double act called the Dangerous Brothers, or 20th Century Coyote. Mm. And they had two characters called the Dangerous Brothers. And then Nigel Planer and Peter Richardson were a double act called the Outer Limits.
That's cool. So rather than just like, how do we get the comic strip to do it as a film? You're like, let's use the TV format and translate it.
And this was before Dawn and Jennifer had appeared as well. So they were the five people who were the comic strip.
Right. Okay. And what Paul took to the Beeb.
So he took the idea, and also in those days, producers had a lot more power, so he could pretty much get it commissioned.
Right. He was already.
So he commissioned a script, which we got paid £300 for, and then made the pilot. In the freezing, it was like an unusually cold winter, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're doing the exteriors, which we did in Holloway.
In Canterbury.
Yeah. Holloway. I keep saying
Canterbury.
It was on Camden Road, that the house, just where I'd been teaching before. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So in between the pilot and the rest of the episodes, it moved to Bristol.
Yeah. Okay.
And Vivian's called Vivian because when I was at university in Bristol, I lived in Vivian Terrace, which was spelled like that, V-Y-V-Y-A-N. Mm.
And did they watch the pilot before it was broadcast and commission the series?
Who's they?
BBC. I wonder, just the last little bit of technicality. Yes. I want to understand. Yeah, so they watched the pilot. They didn't just screen the pilot like they do in America sometimes. They just show a pilot episode. Well, there you go.
They must have given the go-ahead for the show very quickly, didn't they? Because if we shot the pilot in the winter of 1981 and then we were in the studio in the
Well, because then they knew that Channel 4 was going to happen.
Yeah.
So it was to it came out at the same time as Channel 4, didn't it?
Yeah.
Right, guys, I have a little activity planned for us. If we could take a quick commercial break. Huh?
Are we going to fight?
Yes. it's going to decide whether it's Holloway or camp once and for all.
I think of bringing my short staff, and then I thought it might descend into chaos.
That would be good.
So a few weeks ago, you and I, Alexi, were discussing soft drinks. Do you remember? You were drinking Fanta, which you felt bad for not cancelling your subscription.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's produced by...
It's a Zionist entity, man. We got to boycott that shit. So I start telling... We start talking about the fucking Gaza colas and the Palestine colas of it all. Well, the fine people at Yaffa sent me some samples of Palestine cola, and they have four different flavours. All right, they've got... And we don't do advertising on the show. We haven't been paid. We've just been sent some samples. And I told them I'd mention it. And anyone who asks a question tonight will get a can of their choosing to take home.
Can I have a can?
I thought we'll do a taste test of each flavour, basically.
Yeah.
So what do you want to start with? They've got Coke. They've got cola. They've got sugar-free cola. They've got lemon and lime, which is their alternative to Sprite. And they've got orange, which is their alternative to your favourite, Alexi Fanta.
But it's full.
Hmm?
It's full fat, though.
It is not sugar-free, the orange.
Well, I'll try it anyway.
We'll have a taste of it.
I want to taste all of them.
We are going to taste all of them. We're literally just going to have a sip. So let's start with the orange, then. There we are.
What? Do you want to share a can?
Oh, fuck off.
Let's have a taste. This is Palestine Orange, it's called. It's distributed by Yaffa. If you go to yaffa.co.uk or .com, a Palestinian company.
Taste notes of liberation. Anti-colonialism.
I approve.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
It's quite nice, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not bad.
It tastes like Mirinda, like Fanta, like Tango. It's the same taste profile as all of them. Nothing shocking going on in there.
No.
Any other comments? Oh, no!
No, it's nice.
I was trying to think before, when I used to do voiceovers, if I'd done a drink, but I can't. Baby Sham. That was just a test, though. That never went out. About Baby Sham being
what? What's Baby Sham?
Baby Sham was the
a drink for babies.
Fawn in the forest or something. And then...
All right.
I can't remember what happened with that. I did Wild Bean Cafe at BP Connect. Great food on the go. The Dremel Multi I did I? And Totes Toasties, which were a sort of rubberized sock.
These are all voiceover ads.
Yeah, voiceover. Yeah.
The only video ad you've done is the New Zealand bikes.
Because I said I would never appear in an advert, but I did. I went to New Zealand, and there's a New Zealand bicycle company called Morrison's, and I did an ad for them called "Hello, John, got a new bicycle." And literally, the company did go bankrupt about a year later.
Fuck.
So that was the only time I did. It used to be that sort of. People with a reputation, where they don't even do ads abroad, like Laurence Olivier did.
All right, we're going to try the...
Is this the full-fat cola?
Full-fat cola now. Palestine cola. I think it's a Danish company or Swedish. Swedish company. It's produced in Malmo by a Palestinian family.
That's in Sweden. Malmo. That's all right.
Is this going to be one of your accents?
Some great.
How's your Swedish accent?
That's my Swedish accent. Malmo. I'm from Sweden. I come from Malmo. I've got the Volvo.
I think Skarsgård is quite a good one. Good, good.
That's very quite plain flavour, really. Do you not find?
Which very bland. Ones this?
The cola.
It's very, very fizzy.
Yeah.
Like almost fizzy. Too fizzy.
I don't know because I never drink. I don't drink cola.
You don't drink cola?
No.
I find it quite bland. Anyone want to try that one?
You
We should have poured them into glasses so other people could have shared them.
I've left my wine in the dressing room.
Laura wants to try.
I'm just going to get it.
I've got a cola and an orange here.
Handing mine over to our fabulous patron, Laura, back there in the second row. All right, this is sugar-free cola. There you go.
I can't be fucking buzzing now. Fucking
don't drink too much.
This is like very, very odd.
Delivery. Odd.
Doing a taste test on your podcast.
Just worth £17.
Something to do. The problem with sugar-free, they often overcompensate and make it too sweet.
No, it's not too sweet. This is the best, I think.
Yeah, this is good.
Mmm!
Also, this has got a nicer can.
Palestine sugar-free cola.
Think, look.
Drink it if you've got diabetes.
It's got
cola de Palestine. Baby. Disfruta.
It says it's got a tree saying liberty for everyone.
Oh, yes, it does. And
and death to the... No.
death to the IDF.
Death to the IDF.
Death to the IDF.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. All right, last one. Last one. It's the lemon and lime. I've been looking forward to this one. It's nice and green as well. It's the colours you expect to see, isn't it? So... Remember when Walkers changed salt and vinegar to green and then it was like, oh.
No, that's cheese and onion.
Okay. It was Holloway. There's the Sprite.
Mm. I'm not sure about that.
Tangy, yeah. Is that a bit tart for you, Lexi?
Yeah, it's a bit.
It's the least,
the one that seems least natural.
Yeah, it does feel very artificial.
It's got the least ingredients in it.
Really?
Definitely the shortest ingredients list.
You're the only person with eyes that can read this amongst us.
Water, sugar, carbon dioxide,
acid. I can barely even see words.
Flavouring. That's it. Citric acid and flavouring. The others had a much longer, like twice as long list of ingredients. See that there? Compared to that there. Where's the orange one? Look at the orange one. Look at that fucking essay. Absolute essay on the orange one.
Would anyone like some drinks? Because otherwise it's going to look really bad.
Well, it's mostly water, though. It's 90% water.
It's going to look really bad where?
I thought you were filming it.
No. That's all right.
What
fuck
did
these
you say
people.
You were
we are filming.
Filming
it. We are
filming
it.
So yeah, only the people on we'll Patreon.
Face up.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I enjoyed the young one's commentaries. Nigel, you going to do some more, please?
Oh, we only released one
what
of
now?
Those.
Oh, yeah.
So, fucking hell, like two years ago, we released the young ones watching the young ones, and it was you two and Nigel watching...
Fuck me. I'm feeling quite bilious now.
Watching the young one round at your house, Lisa, and your dog was there too.
This could go horribly wrong. As we were stuck.
It's very busy.
No, revolutionary duty to drink all this busy shit.
We released episode one. I tell you what, Laura, that's not their fault. It's my fault. There's actually a second episode in the bank. I'm busy/lazy.
Wasn't there a copyright problem?
The copyright problem is, so like, because YouTube... Yeah, they flag shit, but you have to make it like really small on the screen, or you have to some way alter the image. I got around that.
Oh, did you?
Oh no, I know the copyright issue was solved. No, because it's only on the Patreon, so it has nothing to do with YouTube.
So
right.
It's
no
copyright. Just you haven't bothered to edit it.
Correct. Yeah. There is a second one. If I released the second one and it had a great reception, would you guys record some more? And
sure.
Do some more episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, we were supposed to be going on tour, weren't we?
Next year. Yeah, but that fell through.
Yeah.
No.
But we did a
show.
All
we have is our past, really, just to endlessly mark.
We did a show.
No present or
we did
future,
Glastonbury last year.
Yeah, but just
and that
talking
was fun.
About our past, just endlessly.
Yeah.
Endlessly. Beating into the past.
But
like
not only talking about it, trying to remember it.
And arguing over details. It wasn't wine, it was six cans of Sainsbury's beer.
And Nigel has his entirely different version as well of reality.
Well, probably everyone does. Yeah. I haven't read Ben's autobiography yet.
No.
when I say yet.
It'd be hard to read it through the charred edges. Success,
has it? I don't know.
I don't think it has.
let's say no if that makes you feel better. Well, can you tell us what's your favourite of these before we fully move on of the Palestine cola drinks selection?
I would go Diet Coke, orange, fat Coke, lemon and lime.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't know. I like the, yeah, the cola was all right. Yeah, I feel like I've been sort of poisoned already, but
you're not much of a soft drink.
I feel like I've drunk the contents of a deep fat fryer or something. So,
Palestine cola.
It's terrible, the anti-revolution.
It's not very cold and it's very fizzy. Yeah, so that's probably.
And we're on stage doing the podcast, so we've got no real objectivity.
Better than I expected. I agree with your list apart. I'd put orange first. I was very pleasantly surprised by the orange. Thank you, Palestine Cola, for sharing those with us. Go on, that's it.
Since you asked a question, would you like to come and get a drink?
Oh, Laura, yeah. What flavour would you like to take home? You want lime and lemon? Hello, dear listener. It's Talal here with a quick interjection. While we're on the subject of the Palestine drinks, I just wanted to let you know, I should have said this on stage, basically. The main reason why it's a good thing to try these drinks is because all of the profits, every penny apparently, goes to the Safad Foundation, which is a Sweden-based charity helping out the people of Palestine. They focus on education, healthcare, and sustainability. I'm reading the website here. They enhance access to quality education for all. They improve healthcare access and services. And they promote sustainable practices for environmental conservation, creating a greener and healthier planet. So they run schools and hospitals and help fund them out in Palestine. So it's a good cause, and we did enjoy the drinks. My fridge is full of them now, and I'm enjoying tasting them. So thank you to Palestine Cola and Palestine Drinks, and especially Yaffa, who are the UK distributor of the drink. So if you go to Yaffa, Y-A-F-F-A, yaffa.co.uk, you can order Palestine Cola, Palestine Lemon Lime, Orange, and Sugar Free Cola. You can order an individual can for 99p. You can get packs of 6 or a case of 24, a case of 12 as well. Stock up your fridge with these instead of like running to the corner shop and grabbing a Coke, Pepsi, all that kind of things that are very much on the boycott list. You know, we can do our bit and stop sending our money to big American conglomerates who fund settlements in Israel, illegal settlements, and are tied in with horrible, nasty people and billionaires who are doing bad things in this world. We affect their pockets. That makes them think twice about their actions. So, you can get Palestine Cola. There's also Gaza Cola. There's all sorts of alternatives out there. Ages ago, some of you know, I had a Soda Stream, and regrettably, but I've ditched that. There's a company called CO2U, which is a small independent English company that do the same thing as Soda Stream. And in fact, if you get their bottles, you can fit it into your old Soda Stream machine. So you can stop sending money to Soda Stream, who have their factories on illegal occupied Palestine land. And, the point I'm making with that, you buy that and then you can, if you make your own soda at home, soda water, you can buy syrups, which you mix in with the water. And I'm telling you, I make my own colas and ginger beers and stuff at home using these little syrups you can buy also from independent companies. And they taste just as good. Make your own factory in your own living room. Take ownership of the means of production, people. Right, anything else? Yeah, quick apology as well for the, we are at the behest of the Museum of Comedy. Bless them, we love them. But the sound, I know that I'm a lot louder than Lisa and Alexi, who are the stars of the show, in this particular episode. And
there's not much I can do about it because we're all on one audio track and I'm closer to the mic than them. I thought I would get separate audio tracks so I could balance out the volume, but turns out I'm just louder than them two. So hope that wasn't a problem for you guys at home. All right, let's get back to the show, shall we? Bye. So, what happened next in the saga?
which
about the young
saga?
Ones?
Yeah,
We did the.
Well, we went to Australia.
We went to Australia.
Rick and I were locked in our room while you were all off having fun, swimming with and topless dance company Pina Bausch.
Pina Bausch dance.
Or
company,
naked,
yeah.
Actually, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a fantastic dance company
Tanztheater of Wuppertal
called the Pina Bausch, and they were staying at the same hotel as us, and the dancers were all very beautiful and they used to sunbathe naked or topless and walk around the pool next to us, so it was very...
But then they did a dance about us, didn't they? Dawn and Jennifer got very friendly with them, and I think they improvised a dance about us. About the comic strip, I seem to remember. But there was also, this is my main memory, there was a jazz pianist called Keith Jarrett there, died a year or two back. And he had this thing, I'd never seen a club sandwich before. And he had this amazing like thing that he ordered by the poolside that was like, it was fucking amazing. Yeah. Like, it was like chicken and then bacon and then salad.
And then an extra piece of
bread. Piece of bread
and
in the middle.
There was more than one piece of fucking bread.
It's a posh
Big
Mac.
It was actually like three pieces of bread.
Yeah.
I think they may even have been toasted, and there was like it was so substantial that there was, I had to go like a stick, go through it.
Skewered,
to hold it all together.
Yeah.
And I think he saw it. I don't know whether it was just me, because I think it was everybody. But he said, I can remember him very clearly saying, we were in the pool and he was by the eating his club sandwich by the side. He said, you guys can have this if you want. And he gave us his club sandwich. I think because I'd been looking with such yearning at this. And I was like down there in the pool looking at this thing. And Keith Jarrett gave me his club sandwich, yeah.
That's your main memory of Australia.
That's my only memory of Keith Jarrett.
I think I've only ever seen a club sandwich poolside in a hotel.
Yeah, or like, fucking amazing.
It is fucking good.
Yeah, one is reminded of Miranda's words in The Tempest. Yes.
Oh, brave new world.
Oh, brave new world, yes. That has such things in it.
It's a good fucking sandwich.
That's what one is reminded of, I think. It was amazing.
We had a picnic at Hanging Rock.
We did, yeah. Oh, that was really, because they had this company, didn't they? It couldn't be legal now. They had this company called Rent-A-Rec. Do you remember? And we rented these really, these big, like, Australian cars, but American style, gigantic Australian Ford Fairmont. And I think the only one who could drive was Dawn. Do you remember? She was, like, behind the wheel of this fucking smoking wreck. Do you remember that?
And then they actually went, Dawn and Jennifer got lost.
We did, and we lost them, yeah.
So it was, yeah.
And then they came back.
Jesus. Make my beer into a shandy.
We hung out with the Teardrop Explodes.
Yeah. Yeah? And there was one of them who didn't have a name anymore, didn't he? He was just a drawing.
There was one.
So nobody knew what to call him.
Before Prince became Squeezer.
Yeah, yeah. He was just a drawing.
Oh, yeah. The artist formerly known as Prince is what you would meant to call him at that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this was whoever. And then there was Troy.
Yeah.
And they were starving.
Yeah.
They had all the drugs and groupies they could want, but they didn't have any food because they were kept on a very short lead.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take your beer.
That's nice.
Mexican Shandy. Any questions from the audience, please?
We should go.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Front row?
You, yeah.
Front row. We do a hands-up system here. I know Laura shouted out earlier. I'll come to you later, sir. Yes.
Well, in the mid-90s, I came across a book about you lot called, I'm just curious what you thought of it, called Did You Kill My Mother-in-Law?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
I was all right. Roger Wilmot was the guy who wrote it. I liked it because he used it, because it's taken from my film, Didn't You Kill My Brother? So it was so it gave me, you know. I think it was interesting, really, because that there was the first book that looked at what we were doing seriously, in a kind of academic way. I think there's a lot of that now, but... You know, and there's I'm doing the thing with the comic strip up in Edinburgh, and there was this tour we were going to do, which fell through. But we have done young ones, and you know, people are interested in, I suppose, you know, interested in popular culture and interest, you know, that was the start of that academic exegesis of like stand up comedy, which I mean, it's the modern world anyway. So essentially, I liked it really. But you can see where I always think, like in the, you know, like comedy was completely ignored. Like there was always newspapers like Melody Maker or, you know, Record Mirror or something. There was never like, you know, Comedy Maker. There was never like a newspaper, you know, Eric Morecambe splits from Ernie Wise. You know, there was never.
When the young ones came out, it wasn't reviewed anywhere. No. Literally, they just weren't.
People weren't.
It wasn't a thing that people would review comedy. And I think there was a points of view where.
Laurie McMenemy.
Yeah.
Like, it was an ex-guardsman who was the manager of Sunderland Football Club, and he said it was the comedy was very hurtful.
Yeah,
he said very hurtful.
There was a joke about the Pope he didn't like, I think.
But the viewing figures, obviously, that we would get 5 or 6 million, I mean, massive viewing figures, but nobody kind of analysed it in a way that, I mean, you know, that everything is kind of analysed now. In some senses, I think as a performer, that is, it's gratifying to have your work kind of analysed in minute detail. But I think something is also lost by not allowing things to just develop naturally, you know, but by young comedians being kind of glommed on right away by critics, and obviously by the internet now, which, I mean, I think creates a kind of a very difficult... I think it must be very difficult now to come up as a comedian because you're always being commented on.
And there's so much of it and so many outlets. You know, I mean, as I was saying, Channel 4 started at the same time, but you know, there were still only 4 channels and the TV finished at midnight and everyone more or less watched the same thing. So,
yeah. Like YouTube, another thing was that, I mean, I think inevitably as a performer that you do stuff that is kind of, that you've stolen from like other performers, like the Pythons. I mean, the Pythons were a tremendous influence on me in the early days. But you couldn't go and look at it, so you couldn't tell how much, to what degree you were kind of stealing from, you know, people in the past, because you had to guess at it, really. And right, I think now by having everything available, I think that must make it very difficult.
You can properly rip things off now.
But also, it must kind of inhibit you, I think. I'm feeling terrible. The cola's really bad in my
insides. Do you want some water?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, no. Palestine cola.
That's only
Is it really Palestine cola?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Is it secretly undercover Mossad cola?
Could be, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. I've spoken to them. They're good people.
So, yeah, I like that book, essentially, but it was the start of something more complicated.
Yeah, I bloody studied. I wrote my dissertation on comedy, on Hollywood comedy, and I guess that was unheard of back then, that you would study it.
Yeah,
and
it was
And it always used to be,
really,
you know, that somehow dramatic acting was considered a notch above comic acting.
Of course, yes.
You know, still is a bit, really.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean people, the reviews used to say about things, oh, of course it's funny, but, you know, and being funny is the hardest thing. You know, you have to obey all the other rules of drama and then add in this extra thing, really, you know.
What flavour do you want?
Go for the orange, I like that.
All right, your question, please.
It's really, what other terrible films have you been in?
Oh, you've been following... Like, have you been following this on the... you've been following my... Yeah, OK.
I got a message, actually, conversely, saying, OK, we keep hearing about all his shit films, but can Alexi give us his top three favourite films he's been in as well? So I got a message asking about that.
I think there's... I'd rather talk about the shit films than the... What? Did we do Siesta? Because you came to see us on Siesta.
Yeah. I came to visit you when you were making Siesta. Yeah. And got molested in the lift.
Got me, yes.
No. Fuck's sake. Sorry.
Where did I get up to in the bad films? Did we do...
The Bride.
Reckless
Eric.
Carry on Columbus.
Solar Babies,
did we do that?
Yeah.
You did one of the Indiana Jones films.
Yeah, but that was good.
Gorky Park
was good. Yeah, now I'm trying to think of what... I do find the bad ones much more interesting. Oh, all right, yeah. There's a woman called Cornelia Funke, who is the German J.K. Rowling, except not a shitbag. And... I thought I'd get a bigger laugh on that.
Oh, right.
And,
controversial.
When you said German J.K. Rowling, I thought you meant, the German leading turf. That's what I thought you meant.
And there's a film called The Thief Lord, in which I play a character called Barbarossa. It was made in Luxembourg. And it's terrible, but it does have in it it has several leading young actors who are now leading. Who was one in 1917? George Mackay. Mackay was in it as a young boy, and I think Aaron Taylor Johnson is in it as well. So it's got a really interesting, but it's a terrible. Actually, I've got no funny stories.
You got really excited about that.
What about the pilot?
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. That was in there. That's not terrible, though.
Arabian Nights.
Arabian Nights. I did a Hallmark TV. They did it. Yeah, and I played Back, the Sultan's favourite.
We've discussed
favorite,
this.
Who was, oh, well, I can't do it again for the people in the fucking
The episode
audience.
Was called Little Rubber Relaxing.
Oh, all right.
Now, we did it on it.
Well, I'll tell the people in the... Anyway,
go on. You played Back.
Yeah. So I played Back, who was a dwarf. And so they had to make and most of it, I was dead. So I just did a bit where I choked, and then they replaced me with this little rubber Alexi that was carried around for the rest of the episode. And I showed my mum a photo of me and little rubber Alexi, and she couldn't tell the difference. She said, which one's you? I said, obviously that fucking 3 foot high rubber. Shut up.
And I was in that too. I did ADR I was the voice of several kids in that film.
So was that quite recent?
No, that was in, it was 99, 2000.
Yeah,
2000, yeah.
It's not bad.
So you didn't know each other then?
No, we knew my dad,
It was directed by Steve Barron.
Steve Barron.
Yeah. I should put more work in on the terrible films, because there are other ones.
What about the pilot of Golden Palace?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I'll get your IMDb. We haven't got long.
What about...
But I should do a different terrible film every week, and I should put more work
I should
into
just get your IMDb out, and we'll work our way up through your fucking IMDb once a week. What do you think of that? How many things are on your...
Or just terrible film stories. Terrible stories
from
good films.
This is TV and film, but you've got 80 credits on IMDb.
Well, think of all the comic strip films.
And nearly all of them are bad. I mean, genuinely, nearly all of them are shit.
The Love Child, the year I was born, the Love Child.
I don't know what that was about. I can't remember doing that.
You had a long phase where you were either playing Arabs or Russians, didn't you?
Yeah, we've been into the cruelty of that.
Right, we had another question at the back there, please, and then that might be all we have time for.
Really, blimey?
Was it me?
I believe so, yes, please.
Lisa's sister.
Oh, really? Hello.
It's my sister, Catherine.
It was about our dad, because you were talking about him, and my son be remembered. Well, I was thinking, first of all, him being the father of the young ones, but second of all, that thing that he said about when you were trying to, when he was being interviewed about comedy, just something that's made me laugh about Stephen Fry.
No, you can't say that.
Yeah, we can say it. He slagged us. He slagged me off, so I don't see why we can't. Well, you tell the story then.
Maybe it's not the same story. The one I know is when I was doing...
I was the first time I was really nervous meeting Lisa's dad for some reason. He's very tall and very kind of New England. He used to drive a mini, didn't he? He was like...
Yeah.
And I kept calling him. I said, we went somewhere. I think we went to like the Battersea Arts. And I was going, hey, Lisa's dad's going to go for a drink with Lisa's dad. And he said, I'm not Lisa's dad. I'm David.
I think that's all we got time for,
really?
Folks.
Yeah. It was all right. Oh, well, they're upset. Do one more.
Well, they should have laughed more to begin with.
Anyway, have we got one more question in the audience? Jonathan, yes, please.
Yes, I want to ask Lisa about the American Young Ones pilot.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Well, interestingly, Alexi's agent's business partner is the person that commissioned it, I discovered recently.
Oh, the DLT.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
what's his name?
I can't remember.
Okay, cut that bit out. we thought this was the beginning of... Untold Riches, because they decided to buy the format rights and make a US pilot.
That's the dream, isn't it? Never works, though,
does
it?
Then they decided that the character of Rick was extraneous. Cut that character.
What?
And they hired Nigel to come and play Neil.
The only one, yeah.
So he was the other one, the only one. And it was called something like, Oh No, They're Here.
It was called Oh No, Not Them Again.
And I've never seen it, but it didn't go beyond the pilot.
Jeez.
I'd love to see it. And actually, whatever Michelle's partner...
Which American would play you, Alexi, do you think?
Now?
Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis, yeah, or Bob Keck over it. And next, if you come back next week, then what will I? I'll tell the.
We're back on the 17th of August.
Story about the catastrophic pilot I made, written by John Sullivan, who did Only Fools and Horses. Yeah.
Wow. I need to say something about the auction.
Oh yes, please. And before you do, and we'll finish the show. Please, listeners at home, support us on the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/AlexiSalePodcast. That's patreon.com/AlexiSalePodcast. Help keep the wheels turning. Keep this project we're doing going. Every little subscription helps, and it means a great deal. And the patrons who are here in the room, thank you very much for doing so. While we're plugging things, yes, Alexi took part in the Voices of Solidarity last weekend. And they were running some auctions.
Yeah, so this is this was a benefit in aid of Health Workers for Palestine.
Yeah.
Which is was co-founded by a group of doctors in 2023 and is now in 70 cities, and it's basically raising money for healthcare in Palestine.
This auction finishes on the 3rd, which is the day after this podcast comes out. So if you're listening.
But it's sort of one-off experiences, like having a
pint with Alexi Sal, which I think has been bid on.
It's being bid on, but you know, maybe we can get more.
I'm sort of tempted now to do some more bad movies, just so I have something to talk about. I feel like that part of my life isn't over yet.
Can I just talk some more about this? Oh, yes, There's sort of memorabilia like the like Safi's mug from Absolutely Fabulous and the signed scripts. There's an original drawing by Alan Rickman. There are theatre tickets, concert tickets. You can be a model for Aries, the clothes company, and get an outfit. You can buy Bill Nye's hat, which is a very nice hat, or Cate Blanchett's suit. You can buy... There's all kinds of comedy tickets. You get Stuart Lee tickets. You can get Paul Whitehouse to do a personalised message. You can have tea with Jeremy Corbyn on his allotment.
Anybody?
Anybody
can do that.
Gary Lineker's...
Six of you can go and have tea with Jeremy Corbyn on his allotment. But he'll be late.
Gary Lineker's old football costume,
football
uniform.
Shirt from Euro 92.
Damn,
Alcaraz,
that's a big
Alcaraz signed
one.
Tennis ball. It's got some really nice things. So could you get...
Click here.
Bidaid.com.
Is that simple?
/auction. Oops, you've just lost
I've
it now.
I've just lost everything.
I think it's /auction, /Palestine.
Bidaid.com. Bidaid.com, /auction, /Palestine. Or just go to bidaid.com and look for Palestine.
Or look up
there.
Voices of Solidarity on Instagram and then you'll be taken to the various links. And anyway, that there's all kinds of stuff. There's a signed Young Ones book.
Is that? Mm-hmm. I'm not in that, so fuck you.
Yeah, but you got to sign it.
That's like... That's like an alternative universe thing, isn't it? That's like...
No, sign it and then... Alexi...
I wouldn't be in it because I was...
Why don't you write a page at the end of it on one of the blank pages?
Yeah.
You write... You, like, cuss all the other cast members, like, just insult them all on the last...
Give a testament to why I wasn't in it.
Yeah.
They just say, one of the things I've never understood is when you look up a famous person on Wikipedia, it always has their signature at the bottom.
Is it?
Isn't that... Yeah, well... Look up... You know, Obama or someone.
Web.
It'll.
Yeah, I can confirm. It's bidaid.com /auction /Palestine. That is all we have time. There is another show in here after us.
I didn't know that.
So, Alexi, say your catchphrase, please. Woo! Okay.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Thank you, everyone. Hit the music, Jimmy. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You've been listening to the Alexi Sale podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkouti. Music by Tarbush Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexiselpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.